You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Looks like the Commanders are sold. Finally.
Bezos? Well, Bezos said he was out.
So, the report is that Dan Snyder has reached an agreement in principle to sell the Commanders for $6 billion.
Hey, even when you lose, you win.
Damn.
It was a horrible owner.
You know who it's got? It's a
cash
group
out. How much did he buy it for?
A group that's led by Josh Harris, the Sixers owner.
I thought it was two owners for the Sixers, no?
There are, yeah. But Josh Harris is like one of the co-owners.
I love my commies.
And
how they going to like him there? They going to support the Sixers, and then he going to be talking about he's going to be wishing that they lose.
Tillman Fertitta, who owns the Rockets, also put it. I think he put up like 5.6, and they did not accept that offer. But Josh Harris's group also includes another billionaire, Mitchell Rails, and then – Magic Johnson.
Yeah, they always get the token black guy. Give him 10%, 5%.
I think Magic might be able to pony up a little more than 10%.
No, because look at this stuff out there with the Dodgers. They always attach a black guy, man. I wish that they would have let the guy from –
You say attach a black guy like it's an attachment on an email.
It is. They attach a black guy. Like they, you know, who's
attach? They include him in the ownership. You want to be part of this? We want you to be part of this. Be
right.
Part of this.
That's the minority component of it. But I'm talking about they don't let the black owners be the what's the guy for that owns on the Weather Channel stuff like that? Byron Allen.
Yes.
They ain't let, you know what I'm saying?
He was supposed to buy the Broncos. It didn't happen.
But they wouldn't let him because they took the Walmart money.
What do you mean they wouldn't let him?
They took the Walmart money.
Yeah, but he got outbid.
No, I don't know.
Let him.
Took the
Walmart. Let me tell you something. If Byron Allen put up $7 million, he would win this bid.
Yeah, so make the black guy overpay. Ain't that something? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll give it to you for $7 million. We'll give it to you for $1 billion over.
You are just trying to find a reason. Because
we need black ownership.
So I'm a billionaire. I believe in we need black ownership and we need representation.
Magic Johnson owns it.
I believe in it. So I go to Bart Scott and say, hey, Bart, I know, like, I want you to be part of my ownership group. Come in with me a little bit. Like, you know, we want you in the group. You would say, no, I don't want to be the token.
No, of course. But what I'm saying is we
it's
need
not being
a real
token. It's being included.
We need a real African-American owner. It's amazing that we have no African-American owner.
How do you get there?
Well, two guys tried to bid for it and they didn't give it to the black people.
Again, didn't give or did they not pay enough?
Okay. I don't know if it's about to pay. They still have to select the people.
Yeah. And I usually select the best offer.
Nah. That's not always it.
You're not buying this?
No, I'm not. I just think it's a shame that we don't have any minority ownership in the league, and it's guys that's been bidding for it and that they never give it. Because it's guys that are offered the same thing that they don't allow them to get it. But that's not the story. The owner is that it's a bad owner out. And, you know, now you got a Philadelphia 76ers owning a Washington team. Let's see how that plays when the Commanders come to Philadelphia and he sits in the booth rooting for his team and the conflict of interest.
Right. Exactly.
Rival cities. Good luck.
Doesn't Harris also own the Devils? Am I right about that?
Harris,
I believe, owns the Devils too, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
How much money does my
neighbor used to work for him. But he ain't on the list with Bezos or Elon Musk.
Yeah, but he owns three professional sports teams.
I wonder how much money in percentage it is, because you said it's other billionaires on there with him.
Well, you can't be – well, if he was the minority – is he minority? Wait, Jacob, say that again. Josh Harris was a minority owner of the Steelers? Was, yeah. He can't now be, so he'd have to obviously get out of that.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Commanders have moved on from – Dan Snyder will no longer be an owner in the NFL.
Hey, $6 billion. I say, all right, good luck.
He'll be happy. Yeah, look, again, Dan Snyder's
going to – he'll go by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, he'll end up laughing his way through this whole thing.
He'll go by the Tampa Bay Rays for
it's still a pretty big story, though.
I mean, that's crazy because the value of teams have just skyrocketed.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how much he's made if you think about what he bought it for versus what it's worth now.
I wonder what the Sixers are. I mean, because I know Steve Bisciotti bought the Ravens for six. He said he borrowed. He said he put up. I think he put up $365 million his own money and borrowed $400 million. And now the Ravens are probably worth a couple billion. So he's probably made $1 billion just by ownership because of the TV deal. So listen, it's not in the day to day money. It's in the value of the organization that go up. And every time one of these things sell, because the owner wants to be an ass or do something crazy, or the league has to force them to sell, it's like going to help everybody.
Yeah, like Sarver made money. So, Odell Beckham Jr., speaking of the Ravens, Odell Beckham Jr. is right now on a podium in Baltimore at their facility, flanked by Eric DaCosta, the GM, and John Harbaugh, the head coach. And he's having his own press conference for signing a one-year deal. Like, what's going on in Baltimore right now? We're going to get the audio as soon as we can to flip it for you, because I'm hoping he's asked the obvious questions, which is, have you talked to Lamar? You know, you signing here, are you confident he's going to play? And is this a bit of a show, Bart? Like I said, I know it's Odell. He's a big name. But a whole press conference?
Yeah. But
for signing a guy for a one-year deal?
Yeah, bells and whistles. A guy coming off knee
What's
surgery.
What's this about?
It's about staying face and trying to show to the fans and Lamar Jackson, look, we're going to get you good receivers. And we don't know what Odell Beckham is. This isn't equivalent to them going out and getting A.J. Brown or making a trade or one of these big splashes. This is a guy that we really don't know who or what he has left or who he is, right? So, I mean, you know, I understand that it's a fancy name. It's a flashy name. But, I mean, if you're going to give a guy $18 million, I would have gave up a fourth-round draft pick. I would have took up a fourth-round draft pick and took, you know, I would have took a fourth-round draft pick and grabbed DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, as we wait to see what Odell has to say about stuff, we'll get to that. But there's more news here. We opened the show with this, but let's go deeper into it. DeAndre Hopkins' name has come up. Now, earlier this month, the speculation was the Cardinals have an out on his deal, and it's this year. It's this offseason. They can get out of his contract. The cap hit for him is 30 next year. There was some thought that they were just going to cut him. The teams were kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden there's thought that the Jets could be in on it. Albert Breer was in a mailbag on SI answering questions, and one question was if the Jets have any interest in Hopkins after the Odell didn't sign with the Jets. He ended up signing with the Ravens. And so Breer said yes, conditionally. He said, I think – the Jets are going to do everything they can to go all in around Aaron Rodgers the way the Buccaneers went around Tom Brady over the past 3 years. And they'll try to do it with some intelligent restraint. But, you know, the Odell case was one to illustrate that. The Jets were absolutely in on OBJ. They just weren't in on him at $15 million a year.
Well, if it could be $18 million.
Well, that's just
ridiculous for a guy that's not even supposed to be your number one receiver.
Right. Hopkins is due $15 million in cash this year and $19 million in cash next year. He is just slightly older than Odell, but you know, while he's got a lot of miles, he doesn't have the same injury history. He really hasn't played a full season.
Some of it has to do with
him being suspended.
Right.
But if you're the Jets, Bart, like first of all, have you heard any of this? Is this speculation? And can you see the Jets now, since they have to move on from Odell and they want to keep putting pieces around Aaron Rodgers, can you see the Jets trying to make a move here?
See, Odell would have been a luxury piece, right? DeAndre Hopkins is your number one receiver. You know what I'm saying? If DeAndre Hopkins is on your team, he's your number one receiver. So that's the big difference. Odell Beckham would have been your number two, maybe your number three receiver. So you have to ask yourself, I mean, this is getting DeAndre Hopkins is like having a Tyreek Hill type player. I mean, the guy's amazing when healthy. You know, I know that Davante Adams kind of took the title as the best receiver in the league. Yep. But who had it before him? DeAndre Hopkins handed it off to him. And you look at it, DeAndre Hopkins was playing with not playing with great quarterback play. Right, not playing on a great team. I mean, Adams was getting balls from Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, you look at it, his productivity over the years speak for itself. I mean, this guy is amazing in what he's been able to do over his career. You know, so I think that going for DeAndre Hopkins is a signal. It's like the Dolphins getting Tyreek Hill last year. Like, it's like, oh, crap. We know they had Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
But, man, it's like, oh, crap. Like,
only they
Tyreek Hill became number one. Tyreek Hill became number one, but Jalen Waddle's still a 1,000-yard receiver. So, Garrett Wilson can still eat. And he'll probably eat better because he still probably won't draw the number one corner if they're going against Jalen Ramsey. You think DeAndre Hopkins cares about Jalen Ramsey? Right? Mm-hmm. Which means that it's even, right? Because then you got Alan Lazard going against, you know, Howard. Mm-hmm. Who the hell going to get Garrett Wilson if you put him in the slot?
Right.
Who the hell going to check Mecole Hardman if you go four wides? So it just get that's almost like a cheat code. And if they decide to pull that off, and, you know, we talked about how do they acquire a guy like that, maybe you trade Carl Lawson because they need a pass rusher. Carl Lawson's only 28 years old. He had a full healthy season. You look at Carolina. Carolina needs a pass rusher. They've been rumored to try and be in the running for Will Anderson. The contract and the money, you know, matches up. The Cardinals still have $19 million of salary cap space. This allows them to take that number six pick and maybe go get something else that they need. Maybe they go get a guy like Jalen Carter because now they have a young guy here on the outside, and they can move down and still get Jalen Carter. So now you got Jalen Carter and Carl Lawson. So now you got outside and inside. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. So that would get them flexibility. I mean, if I'm the Jets, I have to make the call. I have to make the call.
Yeah, well, again, and then clearly, you know, if I think you call on everything with the Jets, because when you have a magnet like Aaron Rodgers, you're going to find every piece, every weapon you can to load up around him, because you know the window is a small window. Now, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, listen to what Schefter said on his podcast, the Adam Schefter pod, when it comes to, as we continue to wait and see when this deal is going to go down, when this deal is finally going to be completed between the Jets and the Packers. Well, everybody's saying before the draft, Shefty's not as optimistic.
Green Bay seems quite content to wait until after the draft, and the New York Jets are very happy to use the picks that they have and not trade them to Green Bay, and both sides seem to be dug in and very stubborn in their own stances about what Aaron Rodgers is and isn't worth.
Could we possibly have to go past the draft before we see this deal done? And let's remember, I think is it May 1st that the Packers have the fifth-year option decision, right? Isn't that when that becomes a thing with Jordan Love?
Yeah.
I think they would probably –
they're going to pick that up regardless.
They must know he's the future, right? You know this already. But are we really going to carry this into another month?
It could be.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, but at this point, I don't even know if we pay attention to it. I mean, the fact that if this happens after the draft in 2 weeks, you got – basically, you know, the opportunity to move up and have 2 first-round draft picks. Who cares what you give up next year? You know what I mean, next year I don't care. You can get back another pick by trading somebody.
I hate that.
Sometimes when you wait, man, you get more in return. I mean, it's all about trying to win and maximize and having Aaron Rodgers this year, right?
Of course.
And if they're saying, hey, we want your 1st-round draft pick and the number two next year, because if we're talking about this year, it's a number two and a number one. Then that means, okay, after the draft, and if they get the deal done, and, you know, Green Bay is able to wait to cut Aaron Rodgers because, you know, of the salary cap relief that they get, and then they say, hey, we still want a one and a two, who cares? I'll give you 2024's one because it shouldn't be that great. Then I'll give you 2025's number two.
Yeah.
Who cares? Okay. And I'm gonna be without a number one, but I'd rather be without, you know, next year's number one. Yeah, don't matter. Two gonna be crazy too. Two ain't gonna be good either.
Yeah.
If your number one ain't good, your number two ain't gonna be good.
I'll give up pick 25 and 58.
Right.
I don't care.
So listen how this sounds. How does this sound? Okay. We're gonna have our 13 linemen. We're gonna have our number two. We go get a big fatty, or we go get, or our number two, or we go get, you know, a big D tackle, or we go get another luxury position. Who's to say that they don't go get one of these top tight ends, even though they got tight ends? Who's to say they don't do that? Yeah. And then with the other number two that you have, you send that to Arizona and say, I'll give me DeAndre Hopkins for number two.
Options, yeah.
There you go.
You know what it is?
So you get so your draft is DeAndre Hopkins, a generational tackle, and who knows what you do with the second one? Either that's a defensive lineman or the top safety that falls.
I completely
maybe
get
the guy from Alabama. So if I got to kick the can down the road and give you next year pick 24 and 25, I'll do that.
Right, and anybody that's saying, well, then now Rodgers can't be part of your offseason workouts, man, to hell with that. You know he's not going to anyway.
Yeah.
He's not going to have time to really get to know the playbook. Don't need to. He wrote the damn playbook.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that part. I think all this offseason stuff is overrated.
Saquon won't be there. Anybody concerned about that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of Saquon, how about this? And more Adam Schefter. Him talking about the Giants and Saquon Barkley and them trying to get they offer the franchise tag, but they do so with the idea that they want to continue to negotiate and try to get a deal done. Shefty said there's nothing good there.
Two sides are not close to an agreement, and with Saquon Barkley unwilling to sign that franchise tender right now, that means he can't participate in the offseason program that gets underway on Monday. And as long as he's unwilling to sign that franchise tender, he cannot attend the offseason program, which I'm sure is just fine by him. The two sides will have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. We'll see if they can do it, but you won't be seeing Saquon Barkley in New York anytime soon.
Anytime soon. Now, listen to this. This was interesting. An exchange on Twitter yesterday. So somebody was arguing that Saquon Barkley is already, the tread's already wearing off his tire, that he's just not the same guy he was. And this is reasoning. His first 9 games, he rushed for 931 yards. His last 8 games, he only rushed for 359 yards. Said he was wearing down and not as effective, right? That's what he said. Micah Parsons caught wind of this and decided to respond to it. Micah Parsons was not involved in this conversation at all.
This dude comments on everything.
But it came across his timeline, so he decided to jump in. And he said this. Now, it's interesting because, like I said, I mean, this is, NFC East rivals and all that stuff. He said, that's what happens when your best player's on your team, you idiot. That's what he said to the guy. The scheme on Monday morning is we not let Saquon Barkley beat us. People just think we're out here playing free for all. And he said, that blank is that offense. Pay him. Now, you're a defensive player for 11 years in the league. You know good offensive players by how much you have to plan for them and how difficult they make it for you. Would you take what Parsons is saying here as, it certainly is a compliment for Barkley.
Yeah, great.
But what would you say about what he just said there? Basically saying, when we have to play the Giants, that dude's everything we prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
So they better pay him.
That was last year. But they have him locked under contract. Who knows what he's going to be next year? There's nothing he can do but hold out. He going to hold out and not make $10 million this year? No. I would tell Michael Parsons, all you got to do is look at your team. What happened on your team?
Yep.
You paid a guy that ain't even the best guy 3 years into the deal.
Right.
Saquon's only 2 years younger than Zeke. Do we think Saquon's so much better of a talent coming out of college than Ezekiel Elliott? No. It's apples to apples.
Right.
Right.
So
if this guy wore down without the knee injuries,
right,
at 27, he's ready to get up out of there. What's to say that Saquon Barkley is so much better than Ezekiel Elliott? Last I checked, Saquon ain't never led the league in rushing. Zeke did it twice. Zeke was the man his first 3 years or 4 years in the league. So you talk about, pay attention to what's going on right before your eyes on your own squad. We're talking about, man, we got to keep Tony Pollard. Pollard coming off of an injury that put him on the IL, a season in an injury in the playoffs. And they're like, no, we need Tony Pollard. Like, what? Well, you got Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott's 27 years old. Might have seemed like he's been around forever, but Saquon's only 2 years behind him. So that's the ghost of Christmas future. Saquon's the ghost of Christmas present. You need to pay attention, because if you don't pay attention to history, it will repeat itself. So do you want to be where Dallas was for the last 2 years, trying to figure out how do we survive and make moves around Ezekiel Elliott? That what made him so late in signing Dak Prescott, because because Zeke went to Cabo. So you mess around, you pay him. Does that mean that maybe the price goes up for Dexter Lawrence?
I hate to say this about, you know, human beings, players, right? But it is it just feels like it's becoming a truth in the NFL. The running back position has become the disposable position. That is, to me, that is not a, like, that is not a position that you have for a long time.
It's by committee, too, by
it,
the way.
It is, yeah, it's, the committee is one, but I think it's a disposable thing now. I don't think you have something that is, like, locked in, like, you plug it in and it stays there. I think you just, like, you throw it out and you get a new one.
Who balled
like
out?
Like, it wears out quickly, so you throw it out and get a new one.
How many people had Pacheco on a fantasy team before the season started?
I mean, what a brilliant thing. You said that yesterday, and you're so right about how well he played and where did he come from.
He's an undrafted free agent from Rutgers.
Exactly. But that's the thing with these positions. There's certain positions in the sport that are disposable. And I believe, and I hate to say it, I don't want to sound like that, but there's a reality to what we're seeing around the NFL. Is what teams are learning is you have to treat it that way. That you get a couple of years out of it, and then you throw it. It's like an air filter, right? You don't keep it. You take it out because it gets used up. You throw it out. You get a new one, and that's how that position has to be because of how difficult it is on the body to play that position.
I would ask Michael Parson, who should be a historian, right? Ask him what happened. Ask him who did Ezekiel Elliott replace? Oh, that would be DeMarco Murray, who led the league in rushing.
Yeah.
The year that they cut him and say, you know what, we're gonna draft Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah,
it's been happening on your own team, bro.
Yep.
Like, pay attention. You want to come in and maybe he's doing the other thing. Maybe he's hoping that they tell him, please pay him, because Michael Parson gave him a seal of approval. Maybe he's a Manchurian candidate. You know what I mean? Maybe he's Troy. Maybe he's the Trojan horse. You know, he's trying to say, man, y'all should pay him. I can't believe you do it. Oh, pay him because Michael Parson said pay him, and then Saquon get injured. Like, listen. You pay Saquon because of the intangibles that he brings as a leader, and because how he, you know, is a CEO or general manager of your company, right? You look about how he says the right things. He carries himself a certain way. That is perfect. That's a guy that you can ball with. But as I'm looking up here and looking at Jahbir Gibbs from Alabama with the 4.36 in a 40-yard dash, second fastest among running backs from Alabama, you might be able to get him in the second round and have somebody that can replace Saquon Barkley next year, right? Remember, y'all, they lost Kareem. Kareem Hunt was the man his rookie year for Kansas City. Got in trouble, found Charles Edward Helaire. Remember him? National championship.
Yep.
He ain't even in the rotation. Pacheco and took his spot. They drafted him. It happens over and over and over and over again.
It just has become what.
Remember, we thought Michael Carter was going to be that dude? Yeah. Michael Carter. We got Michael Carter, man. He balling.
Yeah.
When he got Breece Hall the next year in second round.
Forgot all about Michael Carter. No, it's absolutely true. It's what the position has become.
Where's Carson at? Carson's in Philadelphia. You want to know why? Because Seattle, who drafted him in the first round, when he got Kenneth Walker in the second round, and he was better.
Yeah, he's better. Yeah. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get to your calls. We'll continue with that conversation as well. Coming up, of course, audio files, and you don't want to miss it as always. You'll hear from Odell Beckham Jr., why he signed with the Ravens, and if he got any assurances from Lamar Jackson in doing so. What else do we have for you today? Damian Lillard may be finally coming to a realization in Portland. You got to hear what he had to say with Stephen A. And, of course, the scream heard all around the NBA last night. And plenty more. It is Bart and Han on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like that first time in the spring after a cold winter where you open the door, you get in, and you feel that heat in the car. And you're like, yeah, it's about that time.
You got that. You got that. If you got that itch, you good.
Sunroof open,
if you got the
down.
Itch, you good. If you got leather, you might burn. Get a second degree burn
yeah,
on your,
yeah,
on
the
your
leather
back.
Psst, yeah, that hurts.
Ah. Psst, ah. Ah.
Oh, man, 800-919-3776 is the number. We promise. We haven't gotten a lot of calls today. We haven't done a lot of calls today, but we have you stacked, racked, ready to go. We will get to you and keep the conversation flowing. But right now, of course, as everybody knows, it is that time of the show where we step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment that we like to call
Audio File. Audio File.
Wait, what happened there? What happened there?
Tree mix.
All over the map.
Sorry, it was a one-man show.
Jake is running from one Jake to the gong.
Yeah, yeah. Jake the dude that had like the drum set with the harmonica
and
the banjo all attached.
All right, let's get it started. Sorry. So the Jets wanted to sign Odell Beckham Jr., at least had him in consideration. He was supposed to meet with the Jets on Monday, but then on Sunday the news broke that Odell was not going to meet with the Jets and instead accept an offer from the Baltimore Ravens, $15 million for a year, incentives that could bring it to $18 million in the year. Odell met with the media. He had a big pomp and circumstance. I mean, they had a huge press conference situation today down in Baltimore. So, I mean, obviously the first thing people want to know is you signing. Is that because you got some assurances? Lamar Jackson said he's going to play for them this year?
I didn't get any assurances for anything. You know, life's uncertain. I think that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. We only know what's happened in the past. So to me, it just was excited about the possibility of that. You know, my thoughts would be that he would be here. I know that these two want him to be here. You know, at the end of the day, that's going to be up to them.
So these two are Eric DaCosta, the GM, who's sitting next to him, and John Harbaugh, the coach, sitting on the other side of him as well. Let me get through these, Bart, and then I'll let you just break down what you're hearing from Odell. The next thing, of course, is, okay, if you have no assurances that Lamar is going to be the quarterback this year, any concerns?
I mean, if you look at the other situations I was going into, everything was uncertain, you know, and life's uncertain. Obviously, I would assume that it's going to work out. You know, I have that faith and that hope. You know, hopefully that gets done.
What do you think of this, Bart?
Well, he was talking about Aaron because that's uncertain
the Jets,
with the Jets,
right,
as well. So, you know, so if I got two uncertain situations, I'm going to go with the one that's going to give me the bigger bag because, you know, both of them are generational talents. I mean, Lamar Jackson has really carried a team offensively that didn't have a lot of weapons and, you know, was successful, went to an MVP. You know, Mark Andrews and a healthy Odell Beckham is great. When you think about Nelson Aguilar, who's a Deshaun Jackson type of deep threat who can give you those explosive plays and situations, you think about Duvernay, it can give them an explosive team. If Bateman can come back and be healthy, I mean, it gives them a formidable team and weapons, especially when you consider if they're still going to be heavily dependent on the run with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I mean, they can be scary. I mean, I have more concerns now with the Ravens on defense than I do on offense as they bring in Oweh and they bring in Ajabo. you know, coming off of the ACL surgery, would have been a top 10 pick that they got in the second round, took a risk on him, you know, and he has the same coordinator from Michigan, Oway, after having 5.5 sacks his rookie year, the first round pass rusher, you know, had a down year. Justin Houston was the force. So I want to see if how they are on defense, losing Marcus Peters, you know, how they're going to adjust to losing him in a lockdown corner. So I have more defensive questions about the Baltimore Ravens than I do about the offense now.
All right. Well, so the questions continue about Lamar Jackson. So DaCosta sitting there, the GM of the Ravens, was then asked if, okay, so since signing Odell, had a chance to catch up with Lamar?
Well, I have not talked to Lamar since the signing. There's been interaction along the way. You know, Lamar is in our plans. We love Lamar. Our feelings about Lamar have not changed one bit since the end of the season. We're hopeful still that we'll get a long-term deal done. He's the right player for this team to lead us to where we want to be. I think the locker room knows that. The organization knows that. I think the fan base knows that.
The feelings haven't changed. We still don't want to give him $230 million fully guaranteed. I mean, let's be honest. That's basically all it is. They love him. They want to keep him. They're planning on having him. But it's going to be up to Lamar to take the offer that they're giving him because it doesn't sound like he's going to get it from anywhere else. All right, let's move on. As I mentioned at the very top of the show, and you were there for me last night. You sent the text. There was about 5 minutes to go in the third period last night at UBS Arena, and you sent the text, "I'm with you, bro." And you took me all the way to the finish, and the Islanders get it done at home in their final game of the season to clinch a playoff berth.
We needed all 82 to get there, but the Islanders are headed to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
They get it with the win. That's what they needed. The door was open because the Pittsburgh Penguins lost the night before. And it shockingly lost the night before on their home ice to the Chicago Blackhawks, which opened the door for the Islanders. They needed just 1 point. They got two. They are now in. Now, we don't know who they're going to play in the first round just yet because there's more hockey to play for the rest of the season and tonight. And so the scenario is this, Bart. The Hurricanes and the Panthers will play each other. Now, the Panthers clinch as well, and they're in. By the way, side note, the Penguins have not been – they're not in the playoffs for the first time in 16 years. So they this is not typical to not have Ovechkin and Crosby in the postseason this year in the NHL, but we don't have that. But we do have this. So if the Carolina plays Florida, and if the Hurricanes win, the Panthers end up playing the Bruins, which is the top seed, and you really want to avoid them because they're a wagon. Now, if somehow the Florida Panthers beat the Hurricanes tonight, the Islanders then would be the low seed, and they would play the Bruins. There's also a scenario where the Panthers just get a point and they finish tied with the Islanders. Then it would still be the Panthers playing the Bruins because the Islanders win the tiebreaker. I don't know if you're following all of that, but the bottom line is Hurricanes-Panthers is a big game to decide if the Islanders have to play the Bruins or not. And as you mentioned,
we don't want the Bruins.
No, I don't want the Bruins because that team is an absolute juggernaut. They are the record in wins, the record in points. They look like it, just an unstoppable force, and it's not who you want to see in the first round. But if it has to happen, Bart, let's just go back in history for a moment and take in the glory that was Gillies versus O'Reilly.
Here and here they go, toe-to-toe now. Gillies right, O'Reilly's left. O'Reilly down again, back up, flailing away. O'Reilly down again, back up again, and finally separated. Mark Gillies and Terry O'Reilly, two tough wingers. They've been going at it, and
that fight. And Gillies did something there that O'Reilly would never do. O'Reilly was down on the ice, having slipped or been wrestled down on the ice, and Gillies started slugging away. You'll see this coming up. Gillies gets up first.
Yeah,
at this point,
he started
I'm
slugging.
I'm still not sure that O'Reilly wanted to fight. His gloves, there they are coming off now. He knows he's in a fight.
Now, Bart, just keep in mind here.
And starts flailing away. Now,
this was a critical moment in the playoffs in 1980 because Clark Gillies, God rest his soul, by the way, we lost him last year. He was a tough guy, but he was a great player. And back then, it was sort of like this, to get past a tough team, you had to fight their tough guy and kind of face him toe-to-toe. And Gillies did that with Terry O'Reilly, who was one of the tough guys in the league. And, you know, Clark's talked about that many times, how he was just throwing up the night before knowing, I got to fight this guy. Now, you got to love that about a sport, right?
I love that.
Where what you just heard, that play-by-play of a brawl, a fight, was in a playoff game. Like, you don't see that anymore. But that's what the game used to be. But when you play this team, when you play this Bruins team, it might not be all about fights, but it's going to be about toughness. If the Islanders have to face this Bruins team, they better find their identity that they used to be. It's the last couple of years when they were going to the conference finals, they were
Barry
a tough
Trotz,
team.
Man. I mean,
yep.
The future was so bright. And it's just like it's fizzled out. It ain't the same, man. No. We remember, they were ahead before the note to the fans and stuff from the Rangers. Like, it was supposed to be the time for the Islanders. And it's just fizzled out, man.
Yeah.
Disappointing. My feelings hurt, man. I wanted to be there with the green suit.
I know.
You talk about DeRozan's daughter screaming. I was going to be there ready. But I don't know if they deserve that type of smoke from me. Me embarrassing myself for them. If that's what they're going to do.
Well, we'll see.
I need insurances.
We'll see if they're going to win. But maybe we need to bring DeMar DeRozan's daughter. Distract the goaltending or something like that, right? Just scream top for lungs. Like, can you imagine that? That was incredible last night. 18 of 36, and she screamed all 36 times. You think her voice needs to go, like, you know, she needs, like, a night off?
She young, man. She probably got Skittles, man. She jacked them on Mountain Dew. Let's get her some Manuka honey, some lemon tea, and some boba tea, because that's what the young kids drink, boba tea, and let her go ahead and do what she do, baby.
Here's DeMar talking about how he realized that was his daughter.
She went viral. I haven't let it soak in yet. Everybody keeps saying, you know, but that's her. I kept hearing something during the game, and it was one free throw somebody missed, and I looked back, and I was like, damn, that's my daughter screaming?
He know that scream. That's that screen when you're fighting with your siblings.
She should be in a horror movie.
You know when you're a big brother, like you about to beat up your little sister, she goes, ah! You hey, calm down. Hey, shh. Give you a dollar.
I mean, listen to that scream. I mean, that should be in a movie. I mean, that's like Jason is chasing you, right? Freddy's in your dreams when you
Jason
scream like
Voorhees.
That. I mean, think about that. She was doing that every free throw.
36 times. She should get a check. After that, daddy should say, you know what, we won, and it was close, and it worked. Here, babe, here's a car.
All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, guys. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, coming up, I'm going to give you my top five players who need to win a championship this year. This is my list from Get Up Today, and I want to see how much you agree or disagree with it. You have your opportunity to sound off on that coming up.
What are we calling it? Are we calling it Heinz Heat?
I don't know. They didn't really call it anything.
Come on, man. We got Bart's Bites. Bits. We got to have Heinz Heat or something, man. We got to name it, man. We need to name everything we do.
The name is a work in progress.
We need sponsorships.
All right. Name's a work in progress. The music underneath will be a work in progress. But we'll give you the top five players who need to win a championship this year. Coming up next, Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because we've got the latest on Julius Randle. You don't want to miss it. What's going on with him? Is his availability getting? Is he getting closer to playing game one on Saturday? I think it's a critical thing that you need to know. We'll give you that. So we'll get that at the Power Hour. We got your calls in the Power Hour. We got lots to get to. But right here, I was on Get Up this morning. Monica McNutt hosted. She did a wonderful job.
She did.
And I'm on tomorrow as well with Monica, so look forward to that on ESPN on TV. I got to wear the suit again.
Yeah,
it's like,
man.
You know, it's like I haven't had to wear suits that often lately.
Man, can we get a Canale type of endorsement? Can we get some endorsement money, man? What's up, baby?
I mean,
time for at least
Caraco.
Michael Strahan.
Get my boys at Caraco. Throw me a little something. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, we see. We ain't say them because we know them. They supposed to, we shouldn't even have this discussion because you should have been already down.
Yeah, they're down. No, they're down. But
they need to be down some more.
Okay, you're right about that. Cheese on the taco. That's what I was talking
all
about.
All that.
But let me give you. All right, so they asked me to do a list. So I came up with a list as the playoffs, really the series, all start after Friday's play-ins are done. Saturday this weekend we get into our series, and now we can really start talking about the playoffs. So who are the five players that need to win a title this year? So I ranked them. So here's the ranking real quick. Here it is. And we can all react to it on the other side. 800-919-3776 at Barton Hunt on Twitter and Instagram. At number five, I put Jason Tatum. Now, he's 25 years old. He got to a finals last year. And I feel like something that you talk about a lot, Bart, is don't take for granted these years. When you're on a great team, when you've got pieces around you, when you've got a guy like, you know, Jaylen Brown, who you don't know where he's going to be after, you know, just in 2 years. So you got to win. I put him at five among the stars in the league that need to win now. At number four, I probably could have flipped these, but I'll go with what I did, and you can tell me I was wrong. At number four, I put James Harden because of his history of coming up small in a big spot. He has done that in the playoffs throughout his career. He's a guy that has had phenomenal numbers during the regular season. But yet, when he gets to the postseason, can't get it done. Philly brought him in to get it done. He's got to get it done. Number three, Joel Embiid. Now, again, you could flip these two. They're both from the same team. But Joel Embiid in the process has been going on now for the better part of 10 years. And while he continues to get better and he continues to push for an MVP, what doesn't happen is him getting out of the second round.
Yeah.
Whether it's his fault or his supporting cast fault, whatever it is, they don't get out of the second round. And I'm saying this, if they can't do it again this year, when does he start wondering if maybe Philadelphia is not where I'm going to get it done? Number two, Chris Paul. Now, he doesn't need a championship to validate a great career.
Yeah, I do.
But I'll tell you what, it helps in ring culture. And this is a guy that has also, in the postseason, he gets there. He's been on some really good teams. You go from the Clippers, you go for those Rockets teams. And in the Suns, he got to the finals 2 years ago. He's had opportunities to win, and something always happens, including his body breaks down.
Yeah.
So at 38 years old, I think 39 in a couple of weeks, Chris Paul might have his best chance with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and the West the way it looks. Yeah, he might have his best chance to win it.
Yeah, he better ride that wave. I mean, Chris Paul right now is behind John Stockton, right?
And right, all time you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Chris Paul's an all-timer.
Yeah.
So number one, and again, on the other side of this, we'll get all calls, 800-919-3776, and also at Barton Hunt on Twitter and Instagram, your reactions to it, and Bart can certainly break it down as well. I think number one's obvious, Bart. I think you can guess who it is.
The joke.
Yes, Nikola Jokic. I mean, he's won the MVP twice.
He got his Batman with him.
He is like it is the next thing that we expect of somebody that has dominated the league. When you win back-to-back MVPs and your team is number one in your conference, then we start saying, hey, you know what? Can you now take your individual success and turn it into team success? Can you lead a team to a championship? Because I'll say this, Nikola Jokic goes another year without making a push to win a championship. He starts moving into James Harden territory. Where it's, you know, the triple doubles are great. The stats are great. But how does it turn into team success? How do you lead a team to a championship? Because that's what he's going to be measured on, whether he likes it or not. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And he's the two-time MVP. So that's the list. Tatum, Harden, Embiid, Chris Paul, and Jokic. What do you think? 800-919-3776. Agree, disagree? Am I missing somebody? Should somebody be higher on the list, lower on the list? All that. That's coming up. The latest on Julius Randle and more. The Power Hour's next. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.